Hi, I'm Brian Papstein. Welcome to our presentation of Meet the Candidates, our special series to help you get to know the views and opinions from the candidates for local offices. In this segment, we'll hear from Stacy Eads, candidate for Humboldt County District Attorney. Each segment of Meet the Candidates is a 16-minute segment. Hi, Stacy.
Hi, Brian.
Would you like to share an opening statement, or do you want to hit the questions right on?
Oh, I'd love to share an opening statement with you, Brian. Thank you. So, Brian, as Assistant District Attorney with over 20 years of experience prosecuting crime here in Humboldt, I bring the knowledge and judgment as well as the professionalism required of an effective district attorney. I'm uniquely qualified for the position and ask for your support in my effort to be your next district attorney. Protection of children has been an integral part of my career. For over a decade, I served as the juvenile justice prosecutor, handling an assortment of criminal behaviors, from vandalism and theft to serious and violent felonies such as robbery, gang-related stabbings, sexual assault, and murder. I not only expanded my legal knowledge and experience in prosecution of crimes, but also discovered a deep-rooted passion to help crime victims and survivors through the process as they seek justice. I also learned intimate details of childhood trauma experienced in the daily lives of many who find themselves entangled in the juvenile justice system in Humboldt County. In 2015, I began a year-long general felony assignment during which I did extensive pretrial work on the prosecution of Gary Bullock for the tragic, brutal murder of Father Freed. Prior to transitioning to my current assignment as leader of the Child Abuse Sexual Assault Unit. Over the last 6 years, I've been involved in countless child abuse and sexual assault cases, from the early stages of investigation through jury verdicts that resulted in lengthy prison sentences for child molesters and rapists. Child molest, sexual assault, and sexually violent predator cases I've successfully tried over recent years include the following: People versus Sang Yang, People versus Corey Fisher, People versus Mario Alexander, People versus Barry Sanford, People versus Michael Flowers, People versus Richard Stobaugh, People versus Scott Eden, People versus Everett Spillard, David Boardman, and Brandon Bemis. Further, I handled the multiple community placement hearings, which resulted in keeping sexually violent predator Joshua Cooley at a locked treatment facility and off our streets. My proven record demonstrates commitment to holding the most serious and violent offenders accountable and protecting our most vulnerable. Support and retention of our highly qualified, dedicated prosecution team of deputy district attorneys, each of whom serves with their own strengths, talents, and professional backgrounds, is of the utmost importance. As district attorney, I will encourage continued growth and strengthening of our team through courtroom experience, professionalism, and ample education opportunities, as well as I will engage in proactive recruitment efforts seeking to further diversify and enhance our team of professionals. The district attorney's office remained open through COVID-19, ensuring public safety. I want to highlight that we are staffed with a wonderful team of heroes, victim witness, admins, support staff, and investigators, each of whom is a valued team member at the district attorney's office. And as your district attorney, I will continue to value each of the hardworking, dedicated members of our team. I'm honored to have the full support and endorsement of District Attorney Maggie Fleming. And as Assistant District Attorney, I'm fully qualified with the experience to serve as your next District Attorney. Thank you.
Thank you for what?
For having me here today.
There you go. All right. Are you ready for the questions?
I'm ready for the questions.
All right. What's the most onerous public safety-related situation facing Humboldt County today?
Drugs. I think almost every crime that we see within the criminal justice system comes back and has some sort of relationship to the use of intoxicating substances, illicit drugs.
So what can the district attorney's office do to help address that current drug situation?
Well, I think the current drug situation is really, frankly, nothing new to any of us. And many different attempts have been made throughout our time to address the drug situation. I think that it's very important to hold dealers fully accountable for putting the drugs out on the streets and making them accessible, in particular, to our youth. And I think part of that is with holding them accountable with serious consequence. And that may at times include a prison, significant jail time. Likewise, I think reducing the need for drugs or the demand for drugs is a significant thing that we all need to address as a community. Clearly, that's not something that just lies in the hands of the district attorney's office, but we can be open to rehabilitation and alternative means to address the substance use issue.
Demand is always a challenge. Is there any community you're aware of that is doing something, addressing the demand side, that is getting some traction and showing some success?
Well, it's really hard to say, but there are, you know, because what we see on the streets every day, just going to work, is a great concern. And the fact that we do have communities within California where district attorneys are not prosecuting dealers. And so deals and dealing and drugs are being placed on the street. So the big one is fentanyl that's coming here to Humboldt County straight from San Francisco because crimes are not being prosecuted in San Francisco. And they're killing our community.
Ready for next area?
Okay.
All right. Considering the current rate of repeat criminal offenders who are not being incarcerated, how would you address the situation in Humboldt County?
Well, currently, we're coming right out of the COVID-19 pandemic, and during that period of time, we did have to have some special consideration for the population there at the jail in order to minimize the risk of having an outbreak and having to shut things down altogether. So there were some things that we had to do a little bit differently, but now it's pretty clear that we need to make it clear to our law enforcement officers that we're prosecuting crime, and we anticipate that criminals that are caught are not just to be cited and released, that we need to bring folks into jail when there's a public safety issue or a person that is a known repeat offender. And that includes repeat offenders for folks that are committing property crimes. I think that's a tremendous issue for, again, across California, but certainly here in Humboldt County, where the focus needs to lie, that we will hold offenders accountable, even if the laws have changed and the potential consequences are less for a number of these crimes than they were historically. That doesn't mean that there isn't the possibility and the rightness in bringing repeat offenders into the jail, keeping them in the jail, and for the prosecutors to implore the courts to hold the offenders accountable and to impose jail and keep them in, so that they don't have the opportunity to continue to steal from our local businesses and local community members. It's just something we can't continue to tolerate. We can't afford it.
Are there sentencing alternatives that may not have been used in the past that might either break up the chain or at least have some kind of consequence, even if the jails aren't able to be as concentrated as they were? Some of the dynamics that are going on outside of your area of influence?
So there are and have been statutory diversion programs, and I think that's something to always take into consideration. So by diversion programs, what that typically contemplates is once charges are filed, that we don't proceed to the point of seeking a conviction. Rather, the case is diverted for some other program or treatment or intervention to take place to address the offender. So a couple of examples are the mental health diversion program, the veterans diversion. There's actually a child abuse diversion opportunity that's statutory to help parents get parenting class and training and assistance so that low-level child abuse won't happen in the home again. There's also, you know, drug and substance use diversion programs. So those are statutory on the books. The mental health diversion, as it currently stands, is one of the newer legislative diversion programs. But these are designed by our lawmakers so that those of us in the justice community can have alternatives to address criminal conduct when it's appropriate. Sometimes this can be done over the objection of the district attorney's office, but sometimes it requires that the district attorney's office agrees with the diversion program. So what we always look at is public safety. Is this something that will achieve public safety? And if so, then absolutely, we do not have to go after a conviction, in particular when we're talking about a first offender who might have engaged in some low-level, nonviolent conduct and it simply can be addressed by getting him or her on a better track.
Some of those options that are out there, whether they're statutory or driven by the state, which I guess is kind of redundant, but do they prove to be successful?
I have seen success in some of those programs, and by success is we don't see that offender again. So, but that's not always the case. And what is challenging with diversion programs is that if we're proceeding on diversion, our case, while we're waiting to see if it's successful or not for the individual, is getting older and older. So, you know, time passes, witnesses forget, witnesses moved out of the area, sometimes they pass away. So the provability of our underlying criminal offenses can become challenged. So it's really important that when we do agree with the diversion programs, that it's one that it is the best decision for public safety, and that we do think that the success of that particular candidate is high.
And I suspect that success is defined differently, situation by situation, person by person.
Absolutely. Every case and every person is individual and presents its own set of circumstances.
Third area of question. What's the most critical characteristic for a successful DA?
Integrity. So I think in terms of integrity, serving with honesty and openness, having strong moral principles, driven to do that which is right, regardless of public sentiment or the will of others or special interest groups. I think absolutely that's the most important characteristic for the district attorney. We must earn the trust of the public that we serve. And if we do not have integrity, and if we do not serve with integrity, we will not have that trust, and we should not be in the office of district attorney.
I would suspect that there are, I'm suspecting all kinds of things. I would think that there's a lot of temptations. Power might be one, influence might be one, in that office, because it is such a high profile office. How do you balance, integrity hopefully isn't situational, but how do you balance that, being in such a powerful, high-profile position?
With over 20 years of experience balancing, that's what I've done. And on a daily basis, every day, I make critical decisions that will impact the daily lives of another person. And so it's absolutely imperative that I assess a situation and make the best decision that I can based upon the facts that are brought before me. I don't serve any particular interest group or body. I serve the people as a whole. And so it really does come back to just having solid core values of being an honest person that wants to do and will do what is right for the community and the individuals. I take great pride in how I have been able to serve Humboldt County, how I've served individual victims. You know, I have to say, just before I came over here, I was meeting with a victim who was brutally beaten, sexually assaulted, and abused by her husband. And not only was she victimized, but so too were her little boys. One of her little boys was beaten so badly by her then husband. They had cauliflower ear that was swollen out. And it's been over a year since as she's been waiting for him to be sentenced for the crimes that he did plead to. And that has everything to do with some of the laws and just some of the games that can be played in court, frankly, at the hands of defense attorneys oftentimes. And the really good thing, though, about this is that I saw her when she was in this really deep, dark place where she felt helpless. She'd been controlled and she was abused. You know, substance use and drugs were part of the issue again with this family that was very much struggling. And but seeing her today, she's healthy. On Thursday, she graduates from sober living, and I think over 6 months of having maintained absolute sobriety. She's excited to have her children return to her. She's healthy. She's present. She looks great. And as I was sharing with her how proud I am of the changes that she's made in her life, she thanked me for the role that I had in that. And I think it's very important that we fully honor the fact that when we're serving our community, that we are making tremendous impact in real lives. And that is something that we should cherish, and we need to proceed cautiously and always serve with integrity the entire community.
Appreciate you coming by.
Thank you, Brian.
And participating.
You bet.
Stay tuned for our next Meet the Candidates segment.